Alhamdulillah الذي كتب على نفسه الرحمة نحمده ونشكره ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We bear witness that there's no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the one who has ordained on himself the law of mercy. The one, out of his mercy and love for our creation, for the creation of humanity, has brought us sustenance, guidance, and we ask that when we fall off the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he accepts us in full repentance and forgiveness and brings us back to his path. And we bear witness that there's no God but the one God, and that Muhammad is the servant and messenger of God Almighty. And we ask that God Almighty continue to shower from his blessings onto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, and his companions. One of the pillars of the Hajj, the rituals that we perform and that we will witness in about 10 days, inshallah, are the pilgrims going, and they will be going back and forth between the hills of Safa and Marwa. And that is dedicated to a woman named Hajar, a forgotten woman in biblical texts, but one of the most important women in the history of monotheism. For with her faith and with her baby, she went back and forth between the hills until she found salvation, until she found water. And that is a message to all of us, all Muslims, taking notice and taking the lead of this woman, this pious believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to keep moving until we find answers and to never be stagnant. And the water that she found is the water of Al-Zamzam, which we bring back with us and we are purified with during the Hajj. The point is, having a woman be our guide is a message in this lesson. And there is nothing un-Islamic or wrong with that. In fact, Islam and the Quran brought humanity from a situation of looking at women as property and having men and women as equal partners. And that is a very important step in how Islam reformed humanity, how Islam developed humanity, and how Islam brought mercy to humanity. And we always talk about the past. We say Islam gave rights to women. But now Islam is measured by the behavior of Muslims today. And we have to ask ourselves, are we abiding and adhering to the foundation of gender equity established in the Quran? So let us look at some of the verses that stipulate this point. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم صدق الله العظيم. And as for the believers, and it stipulates, it didn't say those believers, it didn't say al-mu'minun, says wal-mu'minun wal-mu'minat. It is stipulating men and women. What about them? It says they are close and protectors of one another. They are awliya. Awliya. They are friends and protectors. Awliya comes from the word wali, like when the Quran says waliyun hamim, he's a close friend and warm friend. And نَحْنِ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. We are your protectors and those who are close to you in this life and the hereafter, talking about God. Here, it is talking about how we are close in partnership and in protection of one another. And then it goes on to say, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They together, in this partnership, go out and promote what is of good and prevent what is of harm. It is not just in the privacy of homes, but it is in the social setting of our society. It is in the public affairs of society that men and women are working together on these issues. And they establish the prayer and they give the zakat and they obey. They are devoutly obedient to Allah and to His Messenger. And God will grace with them His mercy and bestow His grace upon them. Verily, God is almighty and wise. So the question to us, are we doing this thing of men and women working together? And so while I'm talking about gender equity, I just want to digress for a second here, for a minute. The Jummah is an important part of our faith, but the Jummah should be the beginning of the conversation, not the only time we have the conversation. First of all, it's a one-way monologue. The Khatib speaks, nobody's supposed to respond, there's no discussion, there's no challenging, there's no Q&A. The Khatib is supposed to pick issues that are non-controversial, or even if they are controversial, at least frame the things that we all agree on. As the Prophet ﷺ said, leave that which is in doubt for that which is not in doubt. Go to the things that are clear, and that will help you guide your way through. So this is a very important issue that should involve us in conversation and activity beyond the Jummah. The Jummah should be the beginning of the conversation, not the end of the conversation. And obviously, in our case, women do not give khutbas. So how do we work together? Should be during the Friday night program, should be during the Sunday program, should be. The center is not just a place where we come for Jummah. Jummah is one of the most important things that we do. It is not the only thing that we do. So I admonish ourselves to take heed in this word in seeing how we work in partnership, how we have gender equity and gender relations in a partnership in dealing with these kinds of issues. Number two, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, even in his last sermon, he said men have rights, but he added women have rights. He added that to remind us men in particular, don't only think about our rights, think about the rights of our spouses. Especially when there's a physical and financial advantage for the husband in the family, that we should always be on the lookout for the rights who are not as privileged as us. And also, within that context, obviously, 1400 years ago, it was the physical strength that determined the provider of the household. Today, it is not the case. More women are breadwinners in their household than men. So it is beginning to change because that physical factor is not as much as it used to be. But the human condition, the condition throughout society, is that there's still a struggle for equal pay between gender. There is still the problem of sexual violence in our society, in our world. Muslims should be in the leadership of the movement for gender equity. It is not a Muslim problem, it is a human problem, and Muslims should lead on that issue. So we ask that we find ourselves in conversation and activity to do more for gender equity. That is one of the verses that is important in establishing that foundation, the Islamic foundation of gender equity. A second verse, and obviously the verses I will cover today are not limited to what the Quran says, there's much more, but these are what scholars believe establish that foundation for gender equity. The other reference is to the story of creation. The Quran does not say that women were created from Adam's rib. It says very specifically, min nafsin wahida, from one soul, one spirit, one entity, and then from that came its spouse. So the idea that this story of Adam's rib, which is in biblical text, and some people use a hadith about treating women kindly so you don't bend it like Adam's rib, that is not to be confused with the biblical story. And Muhammad Abdu and Rashid Rida, two very, very important and respectable and authoritative scholars, have completely done away with this idea that we are bringing in biblical text to the teachings of Islam on the creation of humanity. We were created from one substance. It was not women who were created from Adam's rib, Eve created from Adam's rib. And also that means we do not believe in this idea of original sin, that it was Adam that was tempted by Eve into sinning. They both sinned, as the Quran said. They were both forgiven, as the Quran said. And they were both brought down to earth to live, as the Quran said. So the concept of original sin is something outside anything that we can say is Islamic. And this is, again, pointing to the principle of gender equity in Islam. The third verse talks about in Surah Al-Imran. By the way, the first verse I read was in Surah At-Tawbah, Surah number 9, verse 71. The second verse is in Surah Al-Imran, verse 395, and it is about Allah responding to our prayer. He says, I shall not lose sight of the labor of any of you who labors in my way, be it man or woman. Each of you is an issue of the other. Each of you is the issue of the other. Ba'adukum min ba'ad. It is pointing to the issue of equality between the gender. So we are an issue for the other. We care about one another. We are equal in that sense. The last reference in the Quran that relates to gender relations is this metaphor of libas, says that we are garments for one another. A garment is something that protects, that gives warmth, and that gives comfort to one another. And that is the ideal that we strive to in terms of a marital relationship, to be that garment for one another. And as the Quran says, that from his signs he's created this bond between husband and wife so that we have sakina, we have rahma, and we have muwadda. That the marriage is something that creates this principle where we are a resting place for one another. We achieve serenity in that relationship. We achieve rahma, mercy in that relationship. And we achieve muwadda, eternal endearing love in that relationship. This is based on the Quran telling us that we are garments for one another. These are some important principles that the Quran gives us in the relationship. And so these are the ideals. And obviously nobody is perfect. We all go through bumps. We all go through ups and downs in our relationship. But these are the ideals that the Quran tells us to strive for. And it cannot be achieved without the understanding of gender equity. What do I see? What I see, brothers and sisters, I see our young men not being able to to uphold their responsibility in marriage, in that relationship, because they are sold a bad set of goods that they are superior. Oh, you're superior to women. You're better than women. And then they find out that their grades are not as good as the women. They're not getting the jobs that women are getting. They don't have the drive that they're getting. So there needs to be some development of our young men in order to prepare them to have relationships that are healthy and that are enduring. There is more divorce in our community than before. There are more breakups in our community than before. There's more misunderstanding of the role of husband and wife in marriage than before. And so, as Malcolm X said, it doesn't take a man to make babies. That's not your role as a man. You want to be a man? Take responsibility for your wife and learn how to provide for her. Learn how to take care of her. That's a real man. Men are not just there to populate women and produce babies. And women are not there as the parking lots for men to impregnate and to be the factory of just making babies. That's one biological function. That is not the only purpose in life. Our purpose in life is to strive for justice, to establish mercy, to establish compassion. So Malcolm X said it right on the money. He told his generation of young men, you want to be a real man and show bravery and courage? Learn to be responsible. And indeed, that is something that we need to teach our young men today, now more than ever. In my organization, I have interns, 9-1 women to men. 9 young women who are interns wanting to learn about Islam, wanting to learn about our community. And we're lucky every year if we get 1, sometimes 2 men. The men are out there. The women are being more involved in our Islamic organizations. So we need to do something about establishing more equity and participation and establishing equity in terms of relationships between men and women. As the Quran says, again, بعضكم أولياء وبعض ادعوا ربكم. الحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We praise God Almighty for everything that He has given us and that He has created, everything that He has told us in the Quran and the message and through the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to admonish the believers, the believing men, be kind to your wives. Show responsibility, take care of them. Kindness was his message in terms of how you treat your wife. Taking responsibilities in the household was his sunnah. That is the message that we should be remembering. And the Quran tells us, even in times of divorce, it warns men, even in divorce, keep her in marriage or allow for a divorce. The Quran says, do not harass her with a view of making her life a misery. In Surah 65, verse number 6, do not harass them with the view of making their lives a misery. There are too many cases that come across my desk, brothers and sisters, where men are making the lives of women a misery. They don't allow for the divorce, and they don't continue regular marital relations. They leave them in limbo, and the Quran is warning against that. And the Quran says, if you hurt them, this is a sin against yourself. Do not take these messages in a frivolous spirit. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse 231. I suggest that we all look at those verses and attain the humility to see how we can be more merciful and make sure this doesn't happen either within our family or around us. You know, when Hajar is taking that baby between Safa and Marwa, that baby being Ishmael, it reminds me of single parenting and how many women have brought up wonderful people through that single parenting. And I had the experience of being a single parent for a very small short of time, and that is when I appreciated the role of women who are doing that. And it's amazing, we still, as a society, when we look at women taking care of children, we say that's parenting. And when we see a father taking care of children, we call that babysitting. It's both parenting. Both equally responsible for raising that child. And so we need religious discourse on these issues, and we need to do away with religious policing, making judgment on women because they don't fit the picture that a man sees they need to fit. And there needs to definitely be a number of these critical analyses and conversations about these issues, instead of just saying to women, your job is just to make more babies. No, on issues involving the rights of women and reproductive rights and the sanctity of life, it is not just a man who should determine what that should be. We need religious leaders, ethicists, social workers, medical experts, women's health experts, so that we can create that intersectionality of women's reproductive rights and the sanctity of life. It takes all of us to have that conversation to reach better solutions on what's happening throughout our society, to preserve the sanctity of life as one of the most cardinal features of Islam, but also providing the rights to all people. And in the book, In Pursuit of Justice, Dr. Mara Hatzut says on page 167, the underlying argument of these verses, the verses that we just went through today, is that God rewards both men and women on the basis of their individual moral actions and efforts. Thus, the same standard for judgment is used for both, implying a sense of equality of the sexes. Restricting the political, economic, and social roles of women on the basis of claims to enforce quote-unquote Islamic teachings about gender roles is contrary to the spirit of equality that permeates the Quran's view of men and women as partners. Ba'adukum awliya'u ba'ad. We are protectors and are close to one another. And as one woman has written, control is not real, and I'm really understanding that every day. It's about the acceptance of relinquishing control that makes it powerful for you. We relinquish that control over others, and we gain power from relinquishing that control to allow for freedom in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me just end by the most important judge of all of us. The most important judge of all of us are our children. Our children take cues on what we do and relate it to what we say about Islam. So if we say Islam is about justice, if we say Islam is about human dignity, if we say Islam is about mercy, that is what they will judge us by. Let us remember that message as we continue in building gender equity and equity for all of humanity as leaders of society, as the Quran tells us that we were made to be the best of society. We promote the doing of what is good, and we prevent the doing of what is harmful. Oh Allah, thank you for bringing us together on this Jummah. We ask for forgiveness for all the believing men and the believing women, those who are among us today and those who have passed on. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give strength and pride to our youth to take the baton of Islam for the future. We ask you to develop within us the humility so that we can see what is justice and we strive towards that, and we see what is injustice and we stand firmly against it. We ask you, Allah, O Allah, to be among those who are truthful. We ask you, O Allah, to be among those who abstain from all that is evil. We ask you, Allah, to be among those who fight all corruption anywhere we find it. We ask you, O Allah, to bring us that humility and that serenity and that endearing love and that mercy between us and our spouses and all of our family members. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Aqim as-salat inna as-salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar.